Good morning, family.
Morning.
It's awesome to be here. Being able to spend time with you this morning is such an honor and a privilege to serve the people of God. Since I walked in yesterday with the business meeting, I just experienced the tangible presence, the peace of God, the love of God in this place, on this property. And I want to say this, you don't even know what God is up to in this ministry. And you need to expect more than you are expecting. Because there's a different sound that's being released from heaven. And we've reached a place on the timeline of God that is shifting things. That is aligning things, that is adjusting things. That's been out of order for just too long. And God says, I'm bringing alignment, I'm bringing correction. And when God judges, He judges to save. He judges to bring things into alignment so that we can function according to design and not according to default. Just too many Christians functioning according to default. There's just like another, I don't know how to explain this, I'm just trying to explain what I see. But there's just another brightness to the blood of Jesus in His people's lives. Sure. There's just another kind of frequency that people are experiencing in their spiritual ear about the heartbeat of Jesus, about the heartbeat of God for His people. He's just like, this is a season where God is revealing His heartbeat in a new way to His people. It's like there's a people that are being raised up that says, I don't care what the cost is. I don't care what I go through. I understand, Jesus, what You went through for me. I understand, Jesus, what You did for me on that cross. I understand, Jesus, that You weren't ashamed for me dying on that cross, giving Your life on that cross naked. How can I be ashamed, Jesus? You were naked on that cross for me, and You were not ashamed because You did it for me. I want to say this to you today, that we are in God's heart-beating season. And God is raising up an army, raising up a people that will not just serve God because of their inheritance in God, but because of God's inheritance in them. You see, oh my word, sorry, I didn't even thank you. I just go, when I get the mic, I just want to say I appreciate you, Pastor John. Appreciate you, Pastor Bev. Great and awesome meeting you yesterday for the first time. But you carry such a precious presence of Jesus on your life. The moment I met you, I saw that. That's always been your protection. That's always been your guide. That's always been the reason for your living. You love Jesus with every part of your being. It doesn't matter what walls you've encountered in your life, what obstacles you encountered in your life. You say, Jesus, as long as You're with me. Precious, precious lady. Precious. Oh my. Just me, I'm Diddy. In love with Jesus. Some call me a prophet. Some call me an apostle. Some call me pastor. You can call me whatever you want to. As long as you see that I love Jesus. And when I walk out of you, you don't need to remember me. Just remember Jesus. Remember God's touch today. I'm Afrikaans, English-speaking Frenchman. So we are in God's heart-beating season. And if we would be attentive to what the Spirit of God is saying, we will experience exalted experiences. We will experience God's higher purposes like never before. Because God does not come into our life to support us in our current situation, but to elevate us to another level. Things are shifting and things are changing. We don't need more faith. If you have just faith as small as a mustard seed, there's enough faith in you. We just need more courage. We need more bravery. Why? Because we need to show the King of Kings that we trust Him. We are willing to make ourselves vulnerable for Him. That's why David could stand before Goliath. Goliath does not mean giant. Goliath means exposer. Goliath means revealer. And God is about to reveal what He's deposited in you, what He's invested in you for 20 years, for 40 years, during your lifetime. And He says, I need to show what I've done in your life. This is the time where I'm going to expose you. This is the time where I'm going to reveal you. This is the time where I'm going to release the giftings, the investment that I've made in you. This is the time where you can show the world who I am in you, because you are created in my image and in my likeness. I want to say to you today, there's a second touch of Jesus reaching you today in your life. It's going to change you. It's going to shift you. It's going to promote you. It's going to elevate you. It's going to bring other things in your life that you've never imagined or that you have ever expected in your life. But you need to reach out to Jesus. Oh, you need to trust Him. It's just like God is bringing His people and asking His people, can you not trust what I have in my heart for you? Who's already experiencing the presence of God flowing in? I want to say to you today that God is awakening. So we are in the season of the second touch. The second touch. And believe the Lord, there's a second touch coming on your life. Second touch. On this couple, there's a second touch. It's a second touch for the next season, for a season that will be very prominent. A season that will be very, very dynamic. And it will bring I want to say to you today, be grateful for what the Lord has done in your past. Be thankful for that, but don't be satisfied. And this is what's happening in your life. There's so much that you still carry in your heart that you need to see come to fruition. This is the time where you see the things coming to fruition. It's going to be a walk that's going to be adventurous, but so fulfilling and so significant. I release that. There's a second touch. Let's just quickly talk about the second touch. I trust that the Lord is enveloping this service in the atmosphere of eternity. We are not even experiencing the touch of man, but the touch of God. We are not hearing the voice of man, but the voice of God. Where this service is being so uplifted and so enclosed in the atmosphere of eternity that you will even experience the flapping of the angels' wings. Amen. I release that over you. You need to understand that God is changing our language. God is changing our language. Church is going to look different. Okay, Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. Jesus comes into Bethsaida. When Jesus came into Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus and they begged Him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, He laid His hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything?" The man looked around. He said, "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." So the only way he could distinguish between a tree and a human is when that human started moving. But if that human would, that person would still stay standing, you would think that would be a tree. But the moment it moved, he said, "Okay, it's not a tree, it's a person." Couldn't really distinguish what he saw. And then in verse 25, then Jesus placed His hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored. And he could see everything clearly. That's the second touch. So many of us has been touched by God. We've been serving God for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. But it's like God is coming into our lives again, touching us again, so that we can see clearly, so we can have clarity to our mind, so we can know which way we need to go, so that there will be no more confusion, no more hesitation, no more asking for confirmation, but just be allowed by God to be moved, to be shifted, to be able to run with the vision that God has given us and that God has infused in our hearts, so that we will experience all the vibrations to form the image that needs to be seen within our inward person, so that we can release what God is wanting to release in our lives and experience the higher purposes that God has for our lives. Listen, and then Jesus sent him away saying, don't go back into the village on your way home. Now, if you look at Bethsaida, Bethsaida, the word Bethsaida means town of fishermen or fishing village or fishing pond. It was a bustling fishing town. Bethsaida was also known as a town that was filled with unbelief, cynicism, a lack of faith. But there was still a group of people in there that heard about Jesus, that said, we're going to take our friend to Jesus. He's blind and he needs Jesus. He needs Jesus to touch him. There are crowds around people, and you may have a loved one that's still in the crowd out there, that is filled with cynicism, that is filled with unbelief, that is filled with a place where there's no faith. But God says, I'm fishing in your pond. I'm coming after every family member. I'm coming after every person that you've been praying for. I'm coming after everyone that is lost out there. And they will come and see the light of day, the person who I am, and they will give their life to me, so that they can function according to the image and likeness that I've created them to function in. Maybe you are a person this morning and you are in a crowd where there's cynicism, where you are in a crowd where there's unbelief. I want to say to you today that God is coming for you. He's evacuating you out of that area, out of that crowd, and he's taking you out of the familiar. But then they bring this blind man to Jesus. Who's going to be the blind man here? Young man, yeah? You're not prepared for this. Come here. You're already prepared, I see. Did you know that I was going to use you? How? He's a prophet. What's your name?
JD.
Okay, JD. Now you're blind. Okay? Close your eyes. The Word of God says, thank you. He wasn't prepared for this, okay? I'm just surprising him. But God's going to bless him today. Okay? Blind man. Bible says this crowd, this group of people brings this blind man to Jesus. The Bible says Jesus takes his hand. JD. I'm taking JD's hand. JD is blind. JD is very much wanting to stay in his familiar territory, because a blind man needs a familiar environment to function in. A blind man needs to know where he's at, because he counts the steps to the next block. He knows that now he's just taken the hand of Jesus in Nelson Mandela Avenue, because that's where they brought him. He needs familiarity. He needs to know his environment. Otherwise, he cannot be independent. He will depend on others to guide him around if he's not in his familiar environment. So he knows that if he turns to the right and he walks 50 meters, 50 steps to the right, he will be on the corner of Nelson Mandela and Govan Mbeki. If he goes 100 meters down Govan Mbeki, if he turns to the right, he will be in Church Street. He knows exactly where FNB is, where he can be financed, on which he can depend to remove an obstacle. He knows exactly where his accountant's offices are. that can do his books. Because even though he's blind, he receives alms because it's part of the Jewish tradition. They were funded very well. He had a disability. He knew where his tailor was so that he can dress up just like society would love him to dress and be accepted. He knew where Vodacom was so that he can stay connected and he can serve on social media. You have to follow me, you blind, eh? I move around. I'm not blind, but you keep on holding my hand. Trust me. He knew his environment well, but he needed that familiarity to stay independent. But that town was filled with cynicism. That town was filled with unbelief. That town was filled with a lack of faith. But Jesus knew that he could not keep him in his familiar situation. He could not keep him in the sound and the voice of cynicism, unbelief, judgment. He had to remove him from that environment. He wanted to give him a second touch, but not there. That's why he gripped his hand. I want to say to you today, there are so many people you're already experiencing in the last few weeks, in the last few months, in the last year, that Jesus has come and he's gripped your hand. You don't know exactly where he's taking you. You cannot actually see where he's taking you, but you are experiencing there's something moving under your feet, but he's moving you. He's changing things. He's shifting things. And he takes the blind man by the hand and he says, you have to trust me. Walk with me. And he takes him alone. Takes him down Nelson Mandela Avenue. The blind man, JD. JD, hey? You keep your eyes closed, eh? He tells this blind man, trust me. I'm removing you from this current condition. I'm removing you from this current situation. I'm not going to support you where you are. I'm going to elevate you from where you are. I'm going to take you out of the situation. It's just like Acts chapter 3. The man sitting at the gate called Beautiful at the entrance of the synagogue. He was begging for alms there. And he got lots of alms. He was a layman. He had legs, but he didn't use the legs. The legs was just hanging there. Just like many Christians, they've got the legs, but it's hanging there. The Holy Spirit hasn't taken control. Because they want to stay supported in their current condition. Help me. You see, but when Peter looked at him, the Bible says Peter gave him his attention. That word attention, you can Google it, you can go and study it, you can go and look it up. It means when Peter looked at him, it was a gaze of stretching. The moment God puts his attention on you, be ready for some stretching. Be ready. Be ready for some challenge. Most of our, many Christians today want to know God enough to be blessed by him. But not to be challenged by him. We're on a season where God says it's a season of challenge. It's not a season where I'm going to support you in your current condition, where you need to survive. No, 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 no. I'm elevating you, where I'm restoring you in my true image and likeness, where I'm bringing you to a place which I've always destined for you. It's going to be a higher purpose of my call for your life. It's going to be an exalted experience that I've always destined for your life. The things that has kept you back, the things that has limited you in the past, it's over. They are breaking because every limitation in your life is imaginary, and God says those things are breaking over your life. You need to trust me. You need to believe with me. You need to hold on to my hand because I'm leading you out of your current condition. So now they walk out of Bethsaida, a place of cynicism. Now JD is very concerned because he knows that he's reaching the extremity of his familiarity. And the closer he gets to that borderline where he's not, he doesn't understand, he doesn't see, he doesn't know what's on the other side of that borderline. He doesn't know what's on the other side of that extremity of his familiarity. But he knows that there's someone that gripped his hand, but he's feeling something. He knows that he needs to trust this grip. He knows that he needs to have faith in this grip. He knows that he needs to believe that something miraculous is going to happen. He knows that he needs to have the courage. He needs to have the bravery. He needs to have the expectation that he hadn't had before. He needs to let go of the disappointments of the past, of the hurts of the past, of the experiences of the past. And he needs to believe afresh. He needs to believe anew. And he comes to that extremity of familiarity. And guess what? I believe happened. A double engagement took place. Because now it's not one grip now. He needs his both hands on the hands of Jesus. He's leaving the familiar. Boom. You learn quickly. My word. Yo, this church is on another level. So double engagement. Now we are out of the familiar zone. Out of the voices that is wanting to clutter his mind. Out of the voices that is wanting to extinguish his faith. Out of the voices that is wanting to install confusion. I want to say this to you today. God is removing you from crowds. God is removing you from small talk. God is removing you from small-minded people. God is removing you from a small-minded atmosphere. And God's moving and shifting you into a large-minded space where God thinks and where God operates. I want to say to you, his accountant couldn't give him vision in his familiar place. His bank couldn't give him more finances, what he needed, even if he carried a great vision in his heart at that time, because they knew where he came from, but they didn't see and understand where he is going. I want to say to you, his tailor couldn't remove his blindness. They could only dress him in smart clothing, but they couldn't put the weight of the glory of God on his life, even though he looked very smart and very sharp. I want to say to you that God is removing all dependency on the flesh, and God is pushing and moving and shifting his people on total dependency on the power of God, the source of your strength, which is God himself, because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are unique. You are a person that has been created by God with a special touch. You need to understand that Philippians 1 verse 6 says, that which I have started in your life, I shall surely finish. God doesn't come into my life to finish up 50% of what he destined for me. He doesn't come into my life to finish up 90%. He comes into my life to finish up 100%. And he's seeking double engagement. He's seeking faith. He's seeking uncommon faith. I want to say to you, yes, we have got uncommon problems in South Africa and globally. But uncommon problems needs uncommon solutions. And uncommon solutions needs uncommon people. Uncommon people can only be resurrected by an uncommon God. And his name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't allow your faith to be weakened. Hold on to God because he's taking you to a new space. His accountant couldn't lead him anymore. Some business people here, God is giving you a new accountant. Because your present accountant cannot see where you're going. You need a different voice. Some people hear God is saying, your bank cannot take you further. I need to shift you to some other bank that will start seeing what I've destined for you. JD, you're doing a great job. So now Jesus puts the blind man right in front of him. They are outside of the village now. Outside of the zone of cynicism and unbelief. And everything that life can throw at you. The standards of society. Because the standards of society, it must make sense. I must be able to calculate how this works. With God, you cannot. So Jesus stands in front of the blind man, looks at him, and the Bible says he spits on the man's eyes. This is the highlight. There's enough spit. You have to have enough spit for two eyes. You have to draw far. Some people are really believing me. I'm going to spit that. You're still blind. You see, John chapter 9, Jesus encounters a man that is born blind. And the crowd asked, or his disciples asked him, was he born blind because of the sin he made? Because of something he did wrong? And Jesus answered his disciples, says, no. Not because there's any sin in his life. He was born blind so that the glory of God can be revealed in him. So in other words, in today's terms, that man was a Christian. But the time has arrived in his life where the glory that I have predestined for him is going to be revealed. We have come to a predestined time. The Bible says that Jesus took dirt and he spat on the dirt. The dirt meaning your flesh. The spit meaning his presence, his anointing on your life. And again, Jesus had to spit enough for two eyes and make enough mud for two eyes to smear it on the man's eyes. And then Jesus gave him an instruction. He says, now you go to the pool of Siloam to wash your eyes. The moment you do that, you will see. The pool of Siloam means sent. Some of us, we need to drench our flesh in His presence. We need to bring this flesh in submittance to His presence when we go into the secret place, so that everything that is flesh that is wanting to control us will diminish and it will fade in regards to the glory that God is wanting to release and reveal in our lives. Some of you, what am I talking about? Go start praying like you should and you will see things shifting. Go start spending time in the secret place, so that many people's secret sins can... God is shifting people from secret sins to secret place. There are too many Christians. Of course, not today. Yeah. Not here. Other churches. Listen. Compromising. And it puts them in glory shedding mode and not glory developing mode. Private sin will kill God's public voice in your life. This is more serious note. I wasn't going to say this, but God's leading me. So if there's anything in your life that you know you are compromising with for many years, repent, walk away from it. Get your mind renewed on that subject. And get out of that situation so that God can put you in glory developing mode. So Jesus looked at this blind man And he put both hands. The Bible says Jesus put both hands on his eyes. Both his hands. And he first pat on his eyes. Then, okay, I don't miss normally, okay? So you're ready. He's just going to feel wet for a moment. Then he just went. And he prayed for the man. One hand representing our inheritance in God. The other hand representing covenant, our oneness in God. We are created in His image and in His likeness. And God restored his vision. First time he prayed for him, he opened his eyes. You can open your eyes now. And he said, I can see people, but they look like trees moving around. Then Jesus said, let me pray for you again. And he prayed for him again. And then he said, okay, what do you see now? He said, I can see clearly. I want to say this to you. This second touch of Jesus is not bringing half restoration. Complete restoration. Complete restoration. It brings not half perfection, complete perfection. There's an awakening taking place today in the body of Christ that is being bring complete restoration to his people's lives. There will be a clear distinction. You see, with his first, the first time, he could like think, all right, this is a tree, or maybe this, maybe, but if the tree moves, it's going to be a person. Too many people has been stuck in a place where they think, is this now God or not God? Couldn't bring complete distinction of, is this God? Would you pray for me? I need confirmation. Confirmation syndrome. God's even removing that confirmation syndrome. Those who are joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. You will know when God says left, you'll turn left. You will know when God says it's from me, you'll know it's from Him. And you would walk on water and do what God has called you to do. Because you will be brave and you will be courageous. Complete perfection. Complete perfection. The second touch is all over the Word. Elijah needed the second touch. After calling fire from heaven, running away for a voice. He hiding in a cave. At his weakest, lowliest place in his life. Asking God, God, take my life. I don't want to live anymore. God feeds him. God takes care of him. I want to say to you, you've been in many places and at the lowliest place in your life, God's coming into your life to feed you, to take care of you, to infuse life in you, to be sure that you're going to be okay. And what did Elijah do? He fell asleep. Sleeps a few hours. Angel comes to him, wakes him up. Elijah, I need to give you some more food. God didn't say to Elijah, listen, get onto your feet, take your bow, take your arrow, go and hunt for yourself and prepare your own meal. No, he said, I'm touching you a second time. And while you rest, I'll nourish you. I'll watch over you. I'll prepare the meal for you. No one that's come against you will touch you because I'm resurrecting you anew. Some of you, you've been going through tremendous fights. You've been going through things you cannot even explain in words. You've been going through emotional turmoil. God says, I'm putting everything at ease. Your emotions will fall into place again. You will go into my rest, but my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So, JD, you can look now. You can see. Clearly, the rain is gone. Give me a hug, my friend. Love you much, eh? Love you. Love you. God bless you so much. I'm done. Love you much. Thank you so much, Pastor John. Thank you, Pastor Bev. And the Lord is on a beautiful journey with this ministry. Be ready for the unexpected and expect more than you're expecting. Amen. Are you blessed today? Blessed. Love you, people. Have a wonderful Sunday. See you next time again. Bless you. Thank you.
Wow. How many of you just felt God was talking directly to you through that teaching. What I would like us to do, the worship team come up, but I want us to respond to that. Didier just really touched on something that I started to experience very strongly last year. And every single person that had a prophetic word for me was prophesying, you're going to travel again, you're going to travel again, God's opening nations. And I was thanking them, but in my mind I was going, and Jesus, when am I going to do this? You know, midnight to 3 a.m, because that's just about the time that I've got left. And I shared it with you, but when I went over to Ireland, Scotland and England and ministered there, it was just dimensionally higher. I'd never experienced, and they're still experiencing revival. Amazing things are happening. That girl with the cerebral palsy that I prayed for, and all the bones were cracking in her legs, she's walking without the walker. You know, God's doing something. But I want you to know, you know, when God speaks something like this to the leader, basically what he's doing is he's speaking it to y'all. All y'all. Amen. And so God is wanting to take us. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are, because he's got a purpose and a destiny for us. So God is, what I've experienced, God is a dab hand. He's an expert at making you feel uncomfortable where you are. And God is going to start to stir, and he's going to start to move you out of a place of comfort, because we're creatures of habit. And it's very easy to settle, and it's very easy to get into a rut, and it's very easy to get into the mundane. But God has got something so much higher for us. And if your heart resonated with that message, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to stand with me and just raise your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I commit to the process. And what I want you to do is in your heart, like Prophet Didier said, just doubly engage with the Lord. It's like put both your hands on his hand and say, God, take me out. Some of you have been experiencing it already, but God, take me out of that area of comfort, the area of comfort, and give me clarity. It's really interesting that God had to take the blind man out of his environment, out of that place of unbelief, and into unfamiliar territory, because he had to get the guy to depend on him and lean on him even heavier. And some of us have been misinterpreting the journey, the step out of Bethsaida. We have been misinterpreting it. And we have been also not only misinterpreting it, misunderstanding it, but we've got ourselves into a little bit of self-condemnation. And I want you to know that God is just wanting you to walk with him. And so this morning, let's just recommit and just say, Jesus, whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want, Lord, we are committing ourselves to you. Lord, we're going to doubly engage with you. And it requires something of us. Just wave your hand if many of you have felt an incredible longing for more of his presence recently. Like, I want more time to pray. I want more time to see God. And I want to tell you, that is the draw of the Spirit. It's the draw of Jesus into that commitment, into that double impact, that double engagement. And he's drawing us in. I mean, you could feel it in the service this morning. You can feel it in the service right now, right in this building. It's saturated with the presence of God. But this is a critical moment because of what Prophet Didier said. There's uncommon problems, but God has got an uncommon solution, because he's got uncommon people, because he's an uncommon God. God's got an uncommon solution, but what he needs is yielded vessels, whatever it takes. So Father, we're standing here with our hands raised, and we're just realigning ourselves, recommitting ourselves, re-surrendering. Lord, forgive us for where we've put our eyes on the things in our environment, where we've listened to the voices of negativity, where we've misinterpreted negative experiences and circumstances and situations. Lord, like Peter, we've been looking at the waves. We've been listening to the wind. But today, we put our hand, both of our hands, in the hand of the man who walked on the water. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be it unto us according to your word today, Lord. Be it unto us. Lord, we respond like Mary did to Gabriel. Be it unto us, even according to your word. Because no word of God is without fulfillment within itself. So, Father, we want to thank you that this word is fulfilled, even beginning now today, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.